Australian Bible Church, November the 2nd, 2014. And this morning on Matthew 18, 4 to 18, we're a Presbyterian body, continuing, unchanged with the attestation of the Savior Jesus Christ with our qualification, and the Bible with our compromise. It will remain when all the follies and errors of some of the churches are gone. And we love to remain with it. This morning, children before God. Angels, heaven, earth, offenses, judgments, and stumbling blocks coming up for the child. When you look at some of these startling scenes in the DVD God of Wonders, magnifications and explanations, diligent designings which God has made, the meticulous care he has taken in performing so many of these brilliant engineering works and volatile things like the flights of the birds, the migratory patterns. When you look at all these things, you ponder. I've been looking recently for a nice bone china cup or mug. There is a distinctive endurance and beauty and craftsmanship, and almost I think it affects the taste. But you find the statement bone china, or the signature on the bottom of it. And the signature for the creation is found in the Bible. Alone able to give grounds for its authenticity logically from God. And in the Bible you find Jesus. And with him you see in Matthew 18 a little child. Let us examine this. We're looking at the site to avoid stumbling blocks diligently. The question arose amongst the disciples, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You find a lot of people in various religions who are very keen to let you know that they occupy this position, or act as if they did. But Jesus, by contrast, took a little child and said, unless you be converted, notice, it is not enough to be like a little child in its trusting, kindly, loving watchfulness and learning with simplicity of orientation. That will not get you into the kingdom of heaven. That's a good start. You've got to be converted. Read it. Except you be converted. And become as a little child, you will certainly not enter. Don't worry about being big. Don't wonder, as it were, what size baby you'd be. To enter, to have a ghost of an opportunity for a migration, to get the visa in order, to enter, you have to be converted and to become as a little child, trusting God, your creator, the creator and background of morals and aesthetics and goodness and power and grace and wisdom and knowledge. You have to put yourself in his hands as the most natural thing on earth, and repent of your sins as the most unnatural thing on earth. And being converted, become as a little child and learn. Not become an active disputant to prove your greatness. Forget greatness. Ponder entry. Attitude and atmosphere then relate even to entry. Repentance and realism. Not adventurism and daring do. But as to these little ones, what do we read? In heaven, their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. Heaven is the ultimate meaning of earth. It is hard to not be exceedingly troubled and aghast by those who try to find the meaning of earth in itself. It didn't make itself. No, everybody knows that. It wasn't there to do it. Can a book make itself before it's how absurd? ultimate meaning of earth is found in heaven. And to behave in a heavenly fashion is the ultimate necessity for those who live upon it. With the other option, go somewhere else. So God organizes it. But all the steps he took to prevent your extradition, not only from earth, but from its harvest. So we go first of all to these angels in heaven for perspective in chapter 18, verses 10 to 14. We learn, don't scorn what angels behold. If one of these little ones is lost, seek with zest to find that one. We read in 18:14, it is not the will of your Father. That one of these little ones be lost. They are, therefore, not to be kept from the knowledge of Christ in the households of Australia or the world. And if they are, we'll look at that later, there are results. They are not to be fed on pious, naturalistic fictions based on illogical rantings, as if their ruin were man's chief aim, a situation I do not fear to continue to remind you is found in Australia when they are fed myths such as those described. If with children you ruin the opening for relationship with God, you're like those who leave them physically unfed. You have these spiritual foundlings cuddled with comfort and surrounded with options. If your whole household is divorced from God, you have great opportunity to make them stumble. Verse 6, for whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Christ is very passionate concerning this matter. He made them. Nothing that was made was there except by him, as John tells us. Offending little children in Matthew 18, 6 to 7. Cause to sin, scandalizes, makes to move as before a stumbling block, arouses sin. It's better to have a millstone around his neck. It may seem gross to have such a consequence. Ah, not children, little, do they matter so very much? Doubtless causing to sin involves more than a mere moment of exasperation. Something destabilizing, giving a false perspective, yes. Giving a false perspective like the blind. You still have to see to live, but if you give them a false perspective, you are engineering their destruction. Takes a lot to make a child. Don't let the simplicity of procreation ever delude you. The enormity of the work is being discovered. It is almost beyond comprehension, the amount of work. It is the most remarkable production site on earth. At the physical level. Some even entice the children, not in any one way, in many, many ways, into the evils. It's a very large-scale matter. The whole life may be warped in resentment, in wrong ways of meeting challenge, in indolence, in carelessness, in self-will, in reaction. And something very deep involved. No wonder you see in Luke, except you repent, you will perish. So in 18:10, be careful not to scorn. Don't look down on or have contempt for children. So here we have the penalty of the offense, awaiting the unrepentant wrongdoers. Be thankful that there is a repentance avenue available. concerning a child. The error they've been led into may be mental, spiritual, physical, causing them to be negligent by a happy-go-lucky stance, even taking the other extreme where the children are treated as gods, and therefore learn that self-indulgence and self-fulfillment, whatever it takes, is the massif, the beauty, the Mont Blanc to be climbed in life. The opposite, utter folly. But consider this. What about those who copulating hope they won't be populating? But if a child should come with a sort of sexual adventure setting, they don't really want the child. The tendency is to despise it. We wish it hadn't happened. What a failure. So what's the result? How do you escape that? Oh, it's very simple. Don't have sexual adventures. Don't have sexual adventures. Unless you are a person duly linked in a lifetime alliance, a sort of adultery, which as Christ indicated is an exception, Matthew 19:9, in a lifetime alliance so that love is expressed on a permanent basis, and the beauty of conception is translated into the wonder of creation. And there is the child, and there is the love. It continues between those who conceive it. It continues towards the child and rebounds and reciprocates back to the parents. It is a loving adventure in realism, not a sexual adventure where the child is despised, not desired, can be transferred from this party to that party. Who knows how many relationships will be formed in a sort of adventurism of the family. Do violence to right ways, by indifference, by misdirection, by omission, and you are likely to beget violence. Child is not an autumn leaf to be blown about. Give it a shocking example of pleasure seeking. And what you expect, the emotional rebuffs, like the tendrils from vines which never reach something to hang on to, and return shriveling up, achieving nothing to their base. And so there's the angel in heaven, gazing upon the face of the Father. It's like a transmission. The glory of the Father moving through the angel, and through the beauty of the angel moving towards the child. Something more than innocent. A child is not innocent. Let's not be carried away with misconceptions. In iniquity did my mother conceive me, says David in Psalm 51. But there's something better than innocence. Like a fawn in a wood, there's something of a waiting wonder to be found in the carefully looked after, cherished, loved, and wisely considered child. It is so easily scarred, so readily ruptured, horribly unprepared for the vast abuses and misuses which await it, whether in training or teaching or feeding or handling, whether in mind or spirit. The child may have an unconscious revulsion from things moral, social, and domestic. And these things may warp into resentment, rebellion, cynicism, or indifference, as a mask for betrayal. When the environment is stained from the first, it's far more than a jolt. It's like a searing force, as if life had become a farce, and so you can beget cynics very easily. It's like pouring millions of gallons of oil smoke into the atmosphere of Saddam Hussein was reported to have done, if I remember correctly, geographically. It's like omitting oxygen from the air. Does this, however, mean that due care involves no discipline? Not at all. The word discipline or child training is fundamental. I even have to try and train my gun. I don't interfere with it. I cherish its naturalness. But I try to prevent it from being taken over. And even sometimes certain growth is very unhelpful on all sides. We prune it. The story of the prodigal son shows that life has goads for discipline, even if you don't use them yourself in the upbringing and cherishing of the child. Now, with little children, there is no room for what many would think of as discipline, but there is. You do not cave in to the least thing. Your cherishing is wise, watchful, and concentrates on reality. If you are not going to teach a child from an early stage by judicious, quiet, loving, cherishing, watchful supervision of its ways, then the absence of discipline can grow slowly as time passes and real dangers occur. The time comes as a child grows where the question of physical punishment must come. The cane is never to be used as a chief source of discipline, nor neglected, if need be, in times of rauntable foolishness, as a sharp and unvengeful reminder of reality. You can laugh against Proverbs. You can disregard 13:24. But the fact remains, who spares his rod hates his son. A drooling cherishing is not to be made a substitute for a ruling realism. Is it imagined that the almost unbelievable loss of patriotism for the country, regard for the body, and lagging with the mind has no reason? What do you live for? Ah, this, that, the other. Oh, going to the Middle East, cutting off hairs. This is wonderful. What has been omitted in such cases? It is better to correct than to become incorrigible in the case of a child. It is better to help realism than to aid willful or even witless wandering. There's nothing godlike, but there's something very filled with the presence of the Lord in potential for the child. You can ruin almost any shrub if you feed it poison, which is what's happening to children on a large scale. Discipline in diligence means two things. You do not discipline unless it is called for. And you do not become, to continue with the first point, quick off the mark. There are many things you do not notice. You do not observe. You are understanding. You want the child to find out for itself, to realize, but there are some things where this is wanton woe. You must intervene. You must know the difference. Slow to act, but watchful and wise when action is required. Discipline in diligence. A diligent pilot is not always fiddling with the engine, but when he sees smoke or flame, he decides that it's time to act in a very decisive manner. It is better than that, than having ice later through a self-destructive, willful, woeful self-affirmation. The child is not made a god, nor is it to be scorned or disregarded, but treated just as you'd like to be treated when your ultimate results are in mind and not ignored as though they never existed. Now, for all this, the one who looks after the child will need self-discipline. There has to be an avoidance of those who could trespass or who desire to keep the child from incidents and accidents. not to mother it up and spoil it, making a fad of the thing, but by wise counsel and true watchfulness. There are ways to respond. There's a spirit to have. There's a trust in the Almighty which can be translated into situations where it is beyond all human repair. Do not suffer foolishness to live and bound about like a cancer. Realize that many social phenomena, which may be very attractive to masses of people who mill about and drink things in and let things sink into their minds as they are partly stupefied by exciting and ravishing meetings where the bodies move about in extraordinary fashions. It is possible to have many social events, but they will not necessarily do other than pervert the mind from its true course or prudence from its proper ways. It is one thing to have a comic opera. It is one thing to have an exciting sport. It is another thing to have morality scorned directly or indirectly. And mass movements in which natural sins are prompted, made almost necessary to the child's growth and development. If you seek a beautiful garden, neither worship it, nor fail to meet its obvious needs. It may become a very pageant of beauty if you do. So be sensitive. Be watchful. Be responsive. Discern. Failing to care for the spiritual aspect of a child's life, leaving it lapsing into ignorance, is one of the simplest ways to spoil it, ruin its initiatives, and make it hard-hearted in indifference, expecting evil and doing it. In Matthew 18:4, humbling your own self to a sense of dependency as a child exhibits, dependency on the living God, just as the child may in no small measure be dependent on you, is part of the duet as adult and child grow before God. This applies to all age groups. There has to be self-discipline. There has to be a lack of willfulness, arbitrariness, slick-slackness, wise foolishness. There has to be the presence of Almighty God, who from heaven gives meaning to earth. The child will not just be lumped with a mass migration from morality, knowing neither good nor bad, caring not for God or devil, and sometimes not discerning the difference. Matthew 18:6-9 extends then the concept of offending the child life as a stumbling block into other domains. What of your own life? Do you have a stealing hand that wins fortunes for yourself even though it cannot be proved by law that you did it because you are so clever? Do you have a brandished tongue which subdues all with a mixture of crassness and brashness? Do you have a wandering foot which takes you where you are singularly astray but not noticed? As if, in the words of Jesus, parts of the body symbolize parts of life. Your hand, what you do. Your foot, where you go. If you are in some potency, some place of potency and power for your life, some making of contracts, training of recruits, looking after patients, where honesty and truth and justice and righteousness and wisdom are not criteria for you, then cut it out. It is better, said Christ, to cut off a member than have the whole go to hell. Translating, it is better to cut out something which may give you standing and substance and financial endurance and dignity and power and a crass look of wonder in the eyes of the populace. It is better to get rid of that than to take the whole caboose into hell. God does not let off people, be they prime ministers or other, because it is difficult to prove. He knows. Therefore, cut it out. Hard? We should be responsible, conscientious, watchful, discreet, prudent, alert, good-hearted, gentle as a mode, gracious in demeanor, thorough in application, with all diligence seeking to please the Lord. But what about athletes and footballers? Are they lacking in any understanding of discipline, or do they do things which are scarcely conceivable at times? Discipline doesn't have to be a dreadful addition. It is part of a wise and exhilarating life. It's not an add-on. It's a mode of living. It cuts out the craziness, stops dreams being regarded as reality. It's like being in snow. There were times when you had to put on chains onto your tires. It was rather unpleasant to have to get out and put the things on. But it did let you go. It did give you traction. Truth gives you traction. Buy the truth and do not sell it. When we were trying to testify to Adelaide University, in the midst of its determinism and materialism, we did not fail to make clear that you should buy the truth and not sell it. If you don't, injustice, misdirection, confusion, subtle vying of different errors, you get a confusion, a muddle, a meddling muddle of mischiefs incomparable. There is what is heavenly. On earth, when the angels who regard the face of the Father and those who are under their due protection and concern in the interests of the kingdom of God make a blend of beauty. It does not mean no suffering. It means no senseless suffering. It means achieving that which is beautiful and holy and just and true and assisting others to find it and showing the meaning on earth of the realities from heaven. But bruised, bullied, disdained, disregarded, those with the young or old makes a mockery of life. So that the penalties as deep as life are there for willful ignorance, vacuous disregard, self-satisfied acceptance of what is frankly evil, making yourself the criterion of truth. Your judgments are filling your mind with rationalizations. Yourself elevated into the discerner and the dispenser in life. How common? The man who is self-made, the man who has no regard for the basis in heaven of all meaning in life and worth and value on earth, who puts himself like a particle in the atmosphere to ignore the sun. A trusting heart, a simplicity of realism, a reality of faith, not obscuring the realities of the Word of God, but living in them. This is what is needed. Breaking from spoilt nature as regenerated children of God. Act like it and treat children as they should. Amen. Our Father, we thank Thee for children. We thank Thee that we have a Father. We relish being children of His through Jesus Christ. We ask that Thou shalt enable us to translate the things of heaven into the ways of earth through Jesus Christ. That instead of suffocating in the smog of sedated sin, we may alert others to the need for something like spiritual gas masks, to the need for immediate contact with God, by the Spirit of God, through the redeeming ransom of Christ, so that there may be more who find peace and escape doom and find the delight for which life was made. In Jesus' name.